Hi everyone, welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Tom, and Pat again is standing in for Stephanie today. She's feeling a little under the weather. So with Pat, we're going to be discovering or talking about the Discovery Channel and a program they are airing recently entitled Codes and Conspiracies. What the heck is all this about, Pat?
Well, this is a show that kind of takes people sort of behind the scenes and looks at areas that most ordinary people don't really know much about. There's too much kind of cover, there's too many secrets, a lot of stuff that's hidden and it's not out in daylight where everybody can understand really how it works. And we're also going to look at some conspiracies, which is kind of people holding secrets and making plans, again, out in deep in the dark where no one really knows what's up.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you have the advantage of not only being able to listen to us talk about this program, but to actually watch the program yourself, and it will help your English listening comprehension skills immensely. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's find out what this is all about, uncovering mysteries in Discovery's Codes and Conspiracies. Here's our reading for today.
In a world full of smoke and mirrors, concealing the truth from the unsuspecting is easy. When charlatans use tricks to gain something for themselves, or despots use their power to obscure reality, sifting through what's fact and what's fiction can be quite the task. Fortunately, Discovery Channel's Codes and Conspiracies team has gone behind the scenes to do the tedious work for us. We journey first to the underground world of Las Vegas, Nevada, US. Las Vegas was just a sleepy western town when the state of Nevada legalized gambling in an effort to profit from vices that other states wouldn't allow. The mafia quickly followed, hoping to capitalize on the thousands of workers building the nearby Hoover Dam. Though the mobsters left their mark on Las Vegas with gruesome murders and excessive spending habits, it's the cheaters that operate under a veil of secrecy these days. Although using hidden devices, sleight of hand, and other card tricks is illegal in Las Vegas, counting cards is not. Professional card counters are called advantaged players by the casinos. These players count the already dealt cards in a deck to figure out how many aces and face cards are left, so they know when to bet large. When these cards have a high count, there's a better chance of winning big. In the mafia era, card counting was greeted with broken bones or worse. These days, card counters are merely asked to leave the premises. In order to prevent players from winning big, casinos go to great lengths to keep card counters from cashing in their chips.
Okay, it's time to talk about today's lesson in detail. So let's first talk about the title here, Uncovering Mysteries in Discovery's Codes and Conspiracies. Of course, if you uncover a mystery, you solve a mystery. And a code is like a special kind of language. It's a system of words or symbols or numbers or something in order to communicate with somebody else and prevent someone else from knowing what you are saying. We use codes, for example, during wartime so our enemies can't know when we're going to attack and stuff like that. The Morse code is a very common code. I wonder if it's still around.
Possibly. I have no idea. The other word we looked at are conspiracies. Okay, a conspiracy is a secret plan by a group of people, usually done in secret so the general public is not aware of it. This could be a conspiracy to overthrow a government, kind of to secretly do something like that, to get weapons, to get people to follow their ideas. Or it could be a conspiracy by the government to hide the real truth about something from people. You see a lot of these things in movies, secret government plans and bases and something only the top guys know.
Yeah, they always say that UFOs, that's a government conspiracy. They're hiding the truth from us. They're not letting us know that aliens are living amongst us. But here in the first paragraph, it begins by saying, in a world full of smoke and mirrors, concealing the truth from the unsuspecting is easy. So we're talking about a world full of smoke and mirrors. I'm assuming the smoke comes from cigarettes or cigars and stuff like that. And mirrors, of course, are surfaces made out of glass and paint and some other things that give you a reflection. But why are we talking about a world full of smoke and mirrors?
Well, smoke and mirrors is a phrase that we use because they're two things that are useful when you're trying to hide something, conceal something, or distort the truth. Smoke will block your vision, mirrors will reflect it in unusual ways. So magicians often use smoke and mirrors in their tricks to fool people into thinking they've seen something that they haven't. So you can use this to conceal the truth. You hide the truth. You stop people from really finding out what's going on. And if you're unsuspecting, that means you don't really know that something's going on. You have no idea what people are up to. You don't think anything bad's going to happen. You're kind of innocent in a way. So using smoke and mirrors, you can conceal the truth pretty easily.
Right. And unsuspecting here is actually talking about people who aren't suspecting something. So if you want to conceal the truth from people who don't suspect something, it can be quite easy. Now, we're talking about charlatans here. So when charlatans use tricks to gain something for themselves, or despots use their power to obscure reality, sifting through what's fact and what's fiction can be quite the task. First of all, we're talking about charlatans. This is a person who basically says they have some special kind of power or special knowledge or special skill when they don't really have that power. They are masters of deception, we could say. And so they use these tricks, you know, like magicians do. He's going to perform a magic trick. They can do this to gain something for themselves, okay? Or when despots use their power to obscure reality, well, then it's hard for us to tell fact from fiction. A despot, or a despot, you can pronounce it either way, is basically like a dictator, basically somebody who's totally in control and they don't let anybody else make any decisions.
Yeah, they rule through power and fear, and they can use that power to obscure reality. So to obscure something is to block it completely or partially from view, so you can't really see what it is and what's going on. People use curtains to obscure a stage to make sure people can't see things. You can use smoke to obscure things, so you're not really sure what's going on. Despots can use their power. You know, they're just basically anyone who questions them, throw them in jail. Then nobody will know what's real. Which is why sifting through or searching through, if you sift through something, you're kind of looking through something, kind of moving bits, like where's the thing I'm looking for? You might need to sift through a pile of papers on your desk to find the right one, for example. So sifting through what's fact and what's fiction, what's unreal, can be quite the task, which means can be pretty difficult.
Right, fact and fiction, what's real and what's not. So hopefully this program will help us with this. Fortunately, Discovery Channel's Codes and Conspiracies team has gone behind the scenes to do the tedious work for us. So here, this is the title of this program we're talking about, Codes and Conspiracies on Discovery Channel. And, of course, we're talking about the team of people working together from the Discovery Channel. If you go behind the scenes, that means you try to find more information that what you can see than what you can see on the surface. So, yes, we can see the surface of, say, what a magician is doing, but if you go behind the scenes, you talk to the magician afterwards, you try to figure out his secrets and stuff like that, you're getting special kinds of information.
Yeah, doing this takes a long time and it's quite difficult, so we describe it as tedious. Tedious just means kind of boring, dull, repetitive, the kind of jobs we have to do over and over again, whether it's vacuuming the floor or filling out reports or doing some kind of fairly boring homework. That is all tedious. So the Discovery team is doing the tedious work. They're asking all the questions, searching through, sifting through fact and fiction. And they find the truth. And we start off by saying, the article says, we journey first to the underground world of Las Vegas, Nevada, which is a state in the U.S. Here we don't mean underground literally. It's not actually under the ground. It's kind of saying that there is some maybe illegal things, some hidden things, a few questionable things going on around the casinos and other places in Las Vegas.
Right. It's probably talking about gangsters and stuff like that. So this is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Nevada, which is, of course, notorious for gambling there and shows and stuff like that. And Las Vegas used to be just a sleepy western town when the state of Nevada legalized gambling in an effort to profit from vices that other states wouldn't allow. And this was true for a long time. Nevada was the only place in the U.S. where you could go gambling legally. But now there are other places like Indian reservations and riverboats and stuff like that. They all allow gambling as well. But still, Las Vegas is kind of a center of entertainment and gambling and still remains quite an interesting place to go to. And if you talk about something being sleepy, that means it's just kind of boring. It's not particularly exciting. Like Taipei certainly is not a sleepy city, but you might say that, well, maybe some place like Cao Tun in Nantou. It's kind of a sleepy town in Nantou County where people are very relaxed and life is very mellow.
Yep, so Nevada legalized gambling. They made gambling legal, and they did that to profit from vices. They did it so they could make money from vices that other states wouldn't allow. Vice is kind of something that people want to do even if it's bad. So gambling for money, you know, placing bets is illegal and other states wouldn't allow it. There are plenty of other vices involving, you know, drinking, drugs, all sorts of bad stuff. And Vegas figured, well, actually, if we make it legal, we can tax it and we can make a profit from it, which is why it did it. However, the mafia quickly followed. So the mafia are a Sicilian-Italian organized crime family, mostly set up in Italy and in the US. So as soon as gambling was there, the mafia came in. Mafia people started trying to make use of it, and they capitalized on all the thousands of workers building the nearby Hoover Dam.
Right.
So to capitalize on something just means to take advantage of it. Really, just to kind of use it for your own ends. Go, oh, there's an opportunity. I'm going to use it. So we've got all these people just moved to Nevada. We're going to make sure that if they gamble, whatever they do, you know, they have to do it through us. We're the only game in town, and we'll make money off them and their gambling and their other habits.
Absolutely. So they had these workers who wanted to make some more money. Hey, guys, come on over to Las Vegas and spend some time in our casino. Play some blackjack or something, or play some craps, or play the slot machine or something. You might get lucky. Who knows? And if you're a fan of movies, you might want to watch Casino, a movie by Martin Scorsese about the mafia in Las Vegas. It's actually kind of violent, so please prepare yourself for that. But we are going to continue talking about gambling in Las Vegas in just a second, but right now we're going to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好, 欢迎收听 English Digest, 我是Sunny. 今天我们要一起阅读的单元是 Unit 11 Discovery 单元的第一天课程 Uncovering Mysteries in Discovery's Cults and Conspiracies 首先,课文的第一段提到这个世界充满了诈骗 有些不知情的人会容易上当 而Discovery的新节目 就是要帮大家揭开大家所误以为的真相 我们看到第一段的第一句 In a world full of smoke and mirrors Concealing the truth from the unsuspecting is easy 在这个充满欺骗的世界里, 对不知情的人隐瞒真相很容易。 一开始的介系词片语是省略关系代名词而来, 原本的句子是, In a world that is full of smoke and mirrors, A be full of B, 就是A充满B的意思, 就相当于 A be filled with B, 要注意的是, full是形容词, 所以不会加ED, Fill是动词, 由于A是被B填满, 所以Fill要加ED变成过去分词。 例如, The garden is full of fragrant flowers, 就等于 The garden is filled with fragrant flowers, 这座花园充满了芬芳的花朵。 接着, 这一句用了一个片语, Smoke and mirrors, 这个片语是起源于古老的魔术表演中, 魔术师常常在舞台上利用烟雾和镜子作为工具，试图隐瞒魔术手法或是制造幻觉效果。因此 smoke and mirrors 后来就被引申为 something or someone that deceives or distorts the truth 意思就是隐瞒或扭曲事实的欺骗手段或骗局。
It's time for us to take a little bit of a short break, but please stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hi everyone, welcome back. We're talking about legalized gambling and when it was first set up in Las Vegas as part of Discovery show Codes and Conspiracies. Now the Mafia, these organized criminals, they soon came to Vegas. They got involved with the gambling and the casinos. And the article says, though the mobsters have left their mark on Las Vegas with gruesome murders and excessive spending habits, it's the cheaters that operate under a veil of secrecy these days. So mobsters is just another word for gangsters, organized criminals, people in a mob or a group. Now, they left their mark on Vegas. They built things, they did things, there's a lot of stories there. People haven't forgotten about them because there's still sort of evidence, whether it's through real things or stories, of their presence. And some of the things they did, as Tom mentioned, about that you can see in movies before our break, some of them were pretty gruesome.
Gruesome just means involving a lot of violence and blood and guts and stuff like that. So it's not enough for them to just kill somebody by shooting them one time. No, they torture them. They beat them to death with baseball bats and stuff like that. So that would be quite gruesome. And the movie I was just describing can be quite gruesome in various scenes. So again, this did happen with murders and also excessive spending habits. If something is excessive, it's more than necessary. It's more than you need. And of course, if you're making money as a mafioso in Las Vegas, sure, you're going to spend your money on nice expensive cars, buy expensive furs for your girlfriends and jewels and stuff like that, and live in a big house. Those are examples of excessive spending habits.
Okay, so those mafia days are kind of gone now. There's maybe some still there, but the casinos run legitimately. They are legal businesses. And these days, the people who are trying to be secret are the cheaters. The article says they operate, they work under a veil of secrecy. A veil is something you usually put either across somebody's eyes or across something, again, to hide it. So a veil of secrecy just means they operate in secret. Now, the cheaters are basically just trying to get money from the casino by using unfair ways. Now, the article says, although using hidden devices, sleight of hand, and other card tricks is illegal in Las Vegas, counting cards is not. So people can't use hidden devices, they can't put cards up their sleeves, they can't, you know, use mirrors and other things to find out what other people's cards are. They can't use sleight of hand. This means kind of like tricks where you hide cards under the table or in pockets or deal off the bottom. You just use very quick hand and finger movements to cheat, to gain an advantage, maybe bring out an extra ace that you had somewhere. Mm-hmm. So all of that stuff, all of those card tricks is illegal in Las Vegas, but counting cards is not.
That's right. And counting basically is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, figuring out how many things there are. So this is not illegal. People do it. And it goes on to say professional card counters are called advantaged players by the casinos. This is a special term that the casinos use. I think you all know what a casino is. It's a place to go gambling. There are a lot of casinos in Aomen or Macau, as far as I know.
I've been to the biggest one. It's very interesting there.
Did you gamble at all when
I did
there?
Not. I'm not stupid. I am not an advantaged player, and I would have lost my money quickly. An advantaged player is somebody who has an advantage, whether through talent or whether through means like card counting and other things. Basically, someone who is better than just the normal average people who go in there. They've got some kind of advantage. They're better, and that often means they need to be watched.
Mm-hmm. So they probably got some good memorizing capabilities. Let's go on here. It says, these players count the already dealt cards. Here, dealt is the past participle of deal. When you pass out cards to other players, you deal the cards from the deck. So they count the cards that have already been dealt, and they want to figure out how many aces and face cards are left. An ace, of course, is just one little dot there, a spade, a heart, a diamond, or club. And face cards, of course, are the cards that have faces on them, the jack, the queen, or the king.
So what they do is they count the ones that have already been dealt. So if they go, okay, we've seen the king, we've seen the queen, we've seen two jacks, I've seen which cards have all gone down, that means if I have a king, it may be the only king left. So it's a winning card. Now, really anybody can count cards. My dad can do it very well when we play card games with him.
You always lose, huh?
Yeah, I can just about do it if I'm concentrating, but this is why casinos serve alcoholic drinks to stop people concentrating and being able to count.
Makes sense,
which is why a lot of them are free. But anyway, so this is how you card count. You look at what's been thrown down, and you go, okay, if that's gone down, then the cards I have will probably win, so I can bet big. The article says, when these cards have a high count, in other words, when a lot of aces and face cards are already played, there's a better chance of winning. Because you just go, aha, three kings down, I've got the fourth king, that's the best card left right now. I'll bet the house.
It might depend on what game you're playing, whether it's poker or 21 blackjack or whatever. But in any case, yes, if you count those cards, you do have a better chance of winning. And it goes on to say, in the mafia era, card counting was greeted with broken bones or worse. I think a lot of times the casinos were actually run by the mob or the gangsters. And if they found out you were doing that, well, they probably couldn't really legally do anything to you, but they'd probably still ask you to come in the back room, and they'd probably take a hammer to you and do some various things. Again, that's a scene from Casino, actually, the movie. But this is talking about the mafia era, which is a period of history. We can talk about different things happening in history. The era, say the 1920s, was a very exciting era in the world. Everybody was having fun listening to music and getting rich just before the Great Depression started. And so we're talking about the time when the mafia was kind of in charge of Las Vegas. And as Pat said earlier, I guess they're not as powerful as they used to be.
Yeah, or certainly not as public. The official government people have probably run a lot of them off and made sure that legal people are controlling it, because otherwise the tax money goes missing.
True, true. But they got to be there in some form.
Unsure.
But in any case, I guess they're not as strong as they used to be. So yes, back then, counting or cheating was greeted, or they reacted by breaking your bones, or maybe even worse, torturing you, murdering you, whatever. Now, these days, card counters are merely asked to leave the premises. Premises here refers to just the house or the building, and we often use the word premises only in the phrase, we're going to have to ask you to leave the premises. You're going to have to leave right now.
Yeah, we always use it as a plural noun. It's always got the S on. If you get rid of the S, the word premise would mean something different. So make sure you always use the plural when talking about buildings or the land around a building that's owned by that building and so on. So they would basically just be told, get out of the casino. If you're card counting, you're out of here. We don't want you back anymore. So in order to prevent players from winning big, casinos go to great lengths to keep card counters from cashing in their chips. So casinos don't mind a few people winning as long as a profit's made, but they can't have everybody winning big all the time. So they go to great lengths, or they make great efforts. They put a lot of effort into keeping card counters from cashing in their chips. Now, of course, in a casino, real money isn't used. You use little chips that are printed with values. And cashing in one's chips would mean taking all of these plastic chips to the casino's bank and exchanging them for real money again. So there's no real money on the tables. I think the phrase cash in one's chips can also be slang for getting killed.
Yeah, I think so. Cash in your chips, or you could also punch out, like you know, punch your card out. There are various ways to talk about dying, but in this case, yes, they want to keep them gambling. So if they see someone with a lot of chips there and they say, hey, you know, we're going to play this game over here. You know, the odds are pretty favorable. Why don't you try it? You know, there are free drinks here. We'll even give you a free pizza or whatever. And maybe they can get the card counters to keep on playing, because the chances are they'll probably eventually lose because they're getting drunk, or maybe some hot women are chasing after them or something like that.
Okay, so speaking of hot women, it is now time to hand over to our Chinese teacher. We'll be back in just a few moments to wrap things up.
文章的第二三段接着就以被称为美国 Sin City 罪恶之城的拉斯维加斯为例，说明虽然拉斯维加斯的表面上看起来是由黑帮掌控着，但幕后黑手其实是一些骗徒。这些骗徒甚至会利用一些伎俩来从黑帮所经营的赌场中获取利益。我们看到文章第二段的最后一句， Though the mobsters left their mark on Las Vegas with gruesome murders and excessive spending habits, it's the cheaters that operate under a veil of secrecy these days. 虽然这些帮派成员 之所以在拉斯维加斯出名，是因为恐怖的谋杀和过度的消费习惯。但现今在秘密帷幕下运作的却是骗徒。我们先来看到这一句前半部分的一个片语 Left their mark, leave one's mark, 有 become famous or successful 的意思，也就是变得出名或成功。例如 Chuck Berry left his mark on the music industry by helping to create rock and roll. 查克·贝里借着协助创造了摇滚乐而在音乐产业中留名。接着我们来看 spending habits 这个词。 spending 在这里是动名词，拿来当作形容词用，动词变成 ving 可以是动名词或是现在分词，两个都可以拿来当作形容词用，但差别在于动名词主要是名词的性质，强调这个名词的作用或是功能，而现在分词主要是当作形容词的性质，强调这个名词的主动状态或动作。例如 a sleeping car 是指 a car that is for sleeping， 强调这台车的功能。所以这里的 sleeping 是动名词当作形容词来用， a sleeping baby 是指 a baby that is sleeping， 强调这个 baby 的主动状态。所以这里的 sleeping 是现在分词当形容词来用。接着我们看到本句的后半部分， Is the cheaters that operate under a veil of secrecy these days， 这里使用了强调句型 It is 点点点 That 点点点，把一个完整的句子里要强调的部分通常是主词、受词、时间或是地点放在 is 和 that 之间，接着句子剩下的部分呢就放在 that 后面，形成了强调句，用来表示的就是正是什么什么的意思。例如原本的句子是 The cold weather made me want to stay in bed， 如果你要强调主词就可以改成 It was the cold weather that made me want to stay in bed， 正是冷天气让我想要待在被窝里。文章的第三段提到某些人会利用算牌这个技巧来从赌场获利，虽然算牌并没有违反法律，但赌场是禁止赌客算牌的哦。一旦赌客被发现在算牌，他是无法将赢得的筹码兑换成现金。我们看到这一段的最后一句 In order to prevent players from winning big, casinos go to great lengths to keep card counters from cashing in their chips. 现金算牌者仅仅会被要求离开营业场所，为了防止玩家大赚，赌场竭尽所能的阻止算牌者将他们的筹码兑成现金。这里有一个片语 go to great lengths， 后面可以接不定词 to v， 表示竭尽所能去完成某件重要的事情。其他表示尽全力做某事的片语还有 try one's best or hardest，Go all out, do one's utmost, spare no effort, 后面都可以接 to do something. 例如 The show's organizers spared no effort to put on an impressive concert. 这次表演的筹备者尽全力举办一场令人印象深刻的音乐会。以上为今天的课程讲解，谢谢大家收听。
Okay, that is the end of the first part of the article, but join us again tomorrow. We're going to learn about some more codes and conspiracies on this Discovery show.
Okay, so from all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
And I'm Pat. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.